You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Folk Fest has been a feature of the Vancouver cultural landscape for decades. It's been able to survive and thrive by providing a unique experience. And in the words of one early organizer, Mitch Budalik, going to the Folk Festival is like entering a special world. He says you step outside of normal society for 3 days and enjoy a totally non-alienating experience. New artistic director Linda Tanaka joins me by phone this morning to discuss this year's Folk Festival. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Now, can you give us some idea of the scope of this year's festival?
Well, this year the festival has just over 60 artists, and performing on 7 stages. And new this year, we have another stage that we're running in the evening from 7:30 to 9:30. It's just usually run until 5 o'clock, so we're trying to run it a bit later with some indie artists on that stage.
You're the new artistic director of the Folk Festival. You came from being artistic director with the Salmon Arm Roots and Blues Festival, where you were for 20 years.
Yeah.
What kind of vision do you see yourself as bringing to the Vancouver Folk Music Festival?
Basically the festival that I had in Salmon Arm was basically the same kind of multi-stages, workshop stages and that. I think maybe it's just a little bit different. My musical taste might be a little bit different, so I might program a little bit more blues, or I like the indie artists, and there's lots of Canadian artists of that kind that are, you know, that are really well known and coming up in the music industry, and also trying to do some different things on the stages, just a little bit different it's a lot the same, I guess, but just sort of a different take, trying to draw in a younger audience, trying to make the festival of interest to the younger audience, I think.
And how are you doing that, just with the kind of acts that you're programming?
The Great Lakes Swimmers, Basha Bulat, Iron and Wine. I think the festival needs a little bit just to draw that audience in, just to sustain itself.
Okay. I know some years that there's a theme or a focus to the festival. Did you pick one this year, a particular theme?
We have some music from the Caribbean this year that I focused on. We had a Canada Council project grant for that. We have just artists from Belize, and I have Muda Baruka coming from Jamaica, and there's Canadian artists like Eliana Cuevos, Fido Garcia, Afro-Cuban bass ensemble that will be a part of that project. So I've kind of focused on that, as well as, the festival has had a history of spoken word, and I sort of missed that last year when I first came in, so I have brought in those kinds of artists as well.
Now, you mentioned that you were featuring indie artists, and I noticed looking at the lineup that there's a lot of Canadian artists. Was that something that's important to you, to bring in local people?
For sure. I think, for funding from the government, you have to sort of mix it up with local artists, provincial artists, Canadian artists, and then as well the international artists. So you have to balance it out so that it's all... you're representing all these different areas of funding.
Right. Now these must be difficult times, for everybody, especially for musicians who certainly don't live high off the hog. There are people generally who are struggling from month to month. What kind of role do folk festivals play in keeping them alive, performing, surviving?
Well, I think most important is that a lot of people come to the festivals to see somebody on the main stage in the evening, and when they come for the day, they're introduced to new artists. So I think the festival provides these new indie artists with a whole big audience. Like if they were to play a bar in the city, they might only draw 200 people. Well, all of a sudden they're introduced to 10,000 people. So then when they return to the city, they have a better bigger audience, and as well the festivals provide these artists with the opportunity to sell their merchandise, you know, so that you know, they may not get as much from the performance, but I think from the merchandise sales they will have a bigger income there. So I think it's the festivals play a really important role just to introduce these to new audiences.
And I know that the CD tent at the festival is always a very busy spot.
Right, for sure. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's hard to find these artists' music as well. I guess with the internet now and downloading, it's a little bit easier, but normally to find the hard copy CD, it's harder in the stores because a lot of the little stores are gone and just the big chains that don't carry this music anymore.
Now, it's hard for artists. It's also hard for festivals in these kinds of times to be sustainable. How is the Folk Festival doing in that regard?
The festival is actually doing better. The ticket sales are up. They were up last year a bit, and they're up again this year. So it's starting to really turn around, I think. It's just the introduction of just, you know, fresh artists and just a little bit. I guess I don't see it, the festival, as any different than other years, but I guess for other people that are coming to the festival, they see it as a little bit turnaround in the artistic programming. But I think that sort of helped to bring in new audience as well.
Now, one of the aspects of the Folk Festival that's always been very notable is that the festival will provide tickets to low-income people through mm-hmm. various centers in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still able to continue doing that?
Yes, we are doing that. I think it's quite a big, you know, the Jericho Beach has got a big space, and we're really open to that, too. So we're continuing on with that tradition. I think it's an important part of the festival. It's been part of their history, so we are doing that.
Now, one new thing this year is that the festival is going to have a beer garden, beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of response have you had to that change?
Well, there was some longtime volunteers that didn't necessarily like it, and some of them aren't volunteering again, but there's ones that have stayed on, and they're going to try it and see what it's like. I think that traditionally, people have brought in their bottle of wine and they sat there, and it's been sort of ignored in the past. And I think this is just something that I think it will all work out fine. I think it's not a Merritt Mountain Music Festival or whatever other festivals have, you know, huge beer gardens. I think it will be pretty. I think it should work out fine.
Now, looking beyond next weekend, which I'm sure is pretty hard for you right at this moment, but looking forward to the future, what kind of changes would you like to introduce to the festival over the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, I like the idea of having two stages at night, and it's just a bit difficult because of the sound bleed on the site. So we're just trying that for this year, and if I had a chance, I would love to see a big dance, another big stage at night with in a tent and a big dance tent or something like that. So I don't necessarily think that I would do a lot of changes, because I think that this has been, you know, one of the top festivals in Canada, and it's been running for this many years. So if it works that way, that's fine. Just sort of add a little bit of a new perspective on things, and I think if you know, it's difficult in the city because there's so many other events going on. So it's hard to you always have to try and have some artists that will draw audience in, and it's been difficult because Vancouver hasn't had the artistic budget to do that. So it's if I had a chance, yeah, it would bring in some bigger names as well, and possibly move to a Thursday evening as well, because that's what other festivals are doing, and it seems to work for them financially. So in future years, it would be nice to add that. I think they've tried that for a few years. It worked 1 year. The next year, it didn't. So it's been kind of plagued with a bit of bad weather for a few years, which has made it difficult financially. But hopefully, it'll all work out, and we'll have sunny skies this weekend.
Certainly looks like that sunny skies is where it's at right now in Vancouver. So this year, it's going to be the Friday night, Saturday all day, Sunday all day, one main stage at night.
Right.
Okay, great.
Great.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us about it.
Okay, thanks.
I've been speaking with Linda Tanaka. She is the artistic director of the Vancouver Folk Music Festival. The Folk Fest opens next Friday, July 17th, and to find out more, you can go to thefestival.bc.ca.